ComicMonsters.com presents the Horror Comics Podcast, part of the Horror News Network.
Welcome to podcast number 24 on ComicMonsters.com. I'm the Big Bad Wolf.
And I'm David.
And we're back at you with podcast number 24. And we're going to talk about using the same format as last time, what we've been reading, what's going on in horror comics today, other tidbits of news. And let's just get started. What comics have you been reading lately, Dave?
Lately, okay, so let's see what I've been reading. I've been reading a lot. Magdalena, I jumped on to Brightest Day Swamp Thing. I also have been reading Skull Kickers, Artifacts, as usual. I picked up Image's comic 27. Mm-hmm. I picked up issue one, read that. God, what else did I read? I read it, not Venom, Carnage.
Right.
And actually, today at my comic shop, I just picked up all four issues of Venom because I hear it's supposed to be absolutely amazing. So, looking forward to reading that.
That's cool. I haven't. I don't think I've picked up that. Oh, you know what? I did. I have been reading the Venom series. That's where he's like some kind of super soldier now, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's Flash Thompson is now Venom, and he has something. They had something about him in one of the. Amazing Spider-Man's, I think 654.1, something like that, where he's basically, you know, Flash Thompson got his legs blown off in the war, but the symbiote basically gives him the ability to walk again when he's suited up. Mm-hmm. But there's some catch to it. Like, he can't stay with the symbiote on for more than 48 hours or it'll bind to him and he'll, like, quote-unquote, Venom out.
Oh, that's no good. I do remember now getting, like, the first two or three issues, and Jack-O-Lantern was in there, and I thought he was always a pretty cool villain. And so they brought him back, and he was definitely kicking some ass. And you know, from what I had read, it was pretty good. It wasn't, you know, obviously, like, a straight horror comic, like a creepy or something right. Like that. But, you know, it had the feel being that he's, an alien type of character, and so that's pretty cool. You know, I've wanted to check that out. Something else you mentioned that you've been reading is Magdalena. I kind of got off of that for a while, but it's always a book that kind of sticks out in my head. I like the art in it. Ron Mars is always a good writer, and it just seems like I'm not sure really why I'm not picking it up, since it has to do with like demons and devils. Why am I not picking it up, Dave?
Because you don't know how to shop at a comic shop.
How is it? I mean, how is it still going good? Or,
I mean, like you said, it's Ron Mars. So Ron Mars, to me, I haven't read anything really bad by Ron mm-hmm. Mars. So it's been going pretty well. And the, I think actually the seventh issue came out today, but somehow I came home without it.
You know, I think
so. Apparently, I don't know how to shop either.
I think I do remember seeing it at the comic store, and I was like, I knew you collected it, and I knew we were going to talk tonight, and I just wanted to basically ask you how it was before I plopped my money down and picked it up. You also touched on something which I picked up, of course, which was the Swamp Thing that DC is doing right now. I guess they had, what was it called, Brightest Day, Return of Swamp Thing?
Yeah.
So the first issue came out, and it did feature, you know, it's kind of... odd seeing Constantine in the DC universe now. I mean, yeah. I really like him being in his own universe, but he started out in the DC universe, so I like that, although I do enjoy his series. So I hope this whole Dark Line, which we'll get into more a little later, DC yeah. universe isn't going to affect the Hellblazer series. I love that series. I think it's probably, you know, my favorite series out there right now.
Right.
But, you know, it was kind of interesting seeing him, you know, Hellblazer talk with Batman, Zatanna was brought in, and, you know, it's just like, so we're kind of confused, we're not sure what's going on, with this Swamp Thing. So from the end of the issue, correct me if I'm wrong, it looked like Alec Holland and Swamp Thing are somehow separated now. Is that what you got out of that last issue?
Yeah, so the I mean the last issue, semi spoiler, they're separated in some fashion because Constantine was talking throughout the issue where he's like, Swamp, someone killed all these people, and you get that this one panel that I thought was really cool where you have that guy that's basically hung up on a tree branch with a tree branch going through him.
Right.
That kind of graphic scene or whatever, and he's like, Swamp Thing, I don't think would do this, and he keeps hinting at, I don't know why this is happening, and then by the end, you realize that the two are separate. So now we have this, I guess, Swamp Thing that has a, I guess, literally at this point, lost his human side, and he's now just, I guess, a creature of habit. I guess he's just basically going around and, if you're not friendly to the environment, he shows up and kills you.
And that's pretty crazy. I mean, as we learned from the past issues of Swamp Thing that Alan Moore did. I mean, he took Swamp Thing to a new level, whereas it was almost like Swamp Thing. You just think of him as like some almost like Bigfoot type creature in the swamp that really couldn't do damage. But he turned him into a creature which could kind of like control the whole earth, and so it was he could be a pretty scary creature. So it's definitely interesting to see where this goes. He has an ongoing series which we're going to talk about again later. But so that's pretty interesting. I got to the comic book store today and I was able to pick up American Vampire by Scott Snyder.
Oh, good.
I've been keeping on that series. It's holding my interest. I want to see what the next story arc brings. I got the new Creepy, which was a really cool cover with the clown on it. So I'm
I saw that at the comic shop. I was like, that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, I mean the stories have been pretty good and creepy. I like it. I hope they keep it up, and I don't see why they would stop. But I picked up the new Artifacts, which seems pretty cool. I can't wait to read this issue. I want to see the darkness unleashed in there. And finally, seems like forever, the new Goon comes out, and this is where he
Yes.
basically beats the crap out of sparkly vampires, and the cover is sparkly vampires. Are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah.
So that looks pretty cool. It's almost
It's gonna
like,
be a good one.
yeah. You know what? When I talked to Steve Niles a while ago, he was saying that, 30 Days a Night was kind of like, Steve Niles didn't like what was happening to vampires with the whole kind of Buffy thing. So his 30 Days a Night was kind of like his middle finger to the whole, sexy vampire Buffy thing. And then Steve Niles
Right.
was like, wow, looking at it now, Buffy is awesome compared to like, Twilight and everything like that. So this is kind of like Eric Powell's coming out and making a statement. The
Right.
new issue of The Walking Dead came out. This is going to be pretty interesting to me, just because it seems to be going in a new direction where the guys were always, running, looking for cover, going from place to place. It looks like they're finally going to make their stand now, after losing a bunch of members of their neighborhood, if you will. Also, Hack Slash Eva came out. I got the first issue of that, and it was really cool. Featured some, the characters of Hack Slash along with Eva, as well as a Frankenstein's monster. So it was a lot of monsters in it, a lot of blood. And the last thing I picked up today was a comic from Image, which I had seen previews of, I think a while ago. I think it's been a little while. And it kind of impressed me, at least the first few pages. It definitely reminded me of The Exorcist, and that's Witch Doctor.
Which
So
doctor?
I picked that up, and
Yeah, that's that new Skybound imprint, right?
yeah, yep, that's the new imprint that Image Comics has, and the cover's awesome. It's almost like a tribute to The Exorcist with the guy doing kind of like the spider walk and green slime coming out of his mouth. So I've also, just been, keeping up with the regular things I get. It's like the Constantine, the Planet of the Apes, all the comics like that. So it's been pretty good. I like the kind of different flow that's coming out, horror comics. I
Right.
kind of dropped Godzilla. I didn't like what was going on with that. I guess,
I was waiting to hear reviews, and then before I picked it up, and then reviews came out, I was like, you know what? Maybe I won't be getting
I
this.
mean, if you're a big Godzilla fan, you'll like it. I mean, I always liked Godzilla, not like a huge fan. I like the character, just seeing him, I like to see him done differently. I think I mentioned before how I'd like to see it be done more of like a Cloverfield monster kind of thing, where it's like total destruction but it's, I don't know, just really not for me, this series. It's a shame because there's a bunch of good guys on it. I mean, I'm sure it's not their call on what happens. I'm sure they have to stick to guidelines with the characters. But that's pretty much it. There's a lot of stuff out there now, and it's just tough to keep a hold on anything, especially with the price of horror comics these days and the price of comics in general. It's, you have to
They're going up.
prices are going up, so unfortunately, like, what you pick up is definitely,
Has to matter.
It's affected by that. I think I stopped picking up Vampirella. The Hellbound Train came out, and that was really cool. So yeah, that was that's kind of like what's the comics that we were reading. Let's talk about some things that are going on in the industry now. As we know, the San Diego Comic-Con is coming up, and it seems like there's going to be a ton of news coming from there, like there always is. As San Diego gets ready to turn up the heat once again in 2011, July 21st to 24th, with a preview night on the 20th. I mean, they're almost making this whole thing a week now. They might as well just, one whole week, they might as well just get it done, because that's where it's heading. I mean, there's so much, media involved now. It's just so much movies and.
A lot of stuff. Have you ever been able to get out
I haven't,
to?
but I'm hoping to go next year. Stephanie Shamlin Gray has been covering it with her husband Brian Gray for the site for the last few years. They're headed out there again this year, and she says it's great time out there. I have like a big fear of flying that I have to get over, and I got to get out there because I hear it's just fantastic. I heard rumors about a lot of things being announced out there, so it definitely seems like it's going to be a great time.
I got out there 3 years ago. I've only been once because, it's the other side of the country for me, the exact opposite side. And it's like it's ground zero for comic book news. Like you, just walking through the dealer's room or just through the halls, like you'll hear different, people saying things way before you'll see it on the internet and all that good stuff. And there's a lot of fun to be had. It's if you ever can get out there, I'd get out there. Maybe we'll actually, because everything DC is doing, maybe something out of San Diego, we'll hear something big, maybe
Yeah,
horror-esque.
that'd be great. I mean, it'd be great. Unfortunately, a lot of the thing there, the horror side of that, unless it's something big with like a Steve Niles or something, or a Robert Kirkman, doesn't really make
Yeah, it gets kind of over.
it's all about like the capes mostly out there. But the horror movies have made like a huge impact out there, as well as like the Walking Dead series. And speaking of the Walking Dead series, it looks like they are like heavy into filming season two. I think I read that they had shut down an Atlanta highway, I think it was.
Yeah, and being in Atlanta, I like the show, but
How was that? I mean,
need to stop shutting down
did
sideways.
that affect your daily grind down there?
So far it hasn't. The first season though, there have been times where I'm trying to drive into Atlanta and then all of a sudden it's just stopped. Like, and then you have to navigate through on, this side street or on this highway to get around all of it. And like a couple times I got stuck with that and I was like, you know what? This show better be off.
I don't blame you. I mean, sitting in traffic sucks, but if it's going to be a good TV show, I mean, it somewhat makes up for it.
And if any of you are Border Rewards members, there's a coupon that Bordish has put out. It's 50% off any Blu-ray or select Blu-rays, and one of them is the box set of Walking Dead Season 1. So you can get Blu-ray Walking Dead for like $20.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a good deal. I mean, I loved the you know, the initial series. Hopefully that'll draw a lot more people into the comic. And, you know, once they're in there, hopefully they'll open up their eyes to different things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember, because I'm a total nerd like this, and I like looking at all the sales every month, when Walking Dead came out, like, for that first, that month, maybe 2 months, actually, Walking Dead was, like, the top of the trade list.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, two, three, like, the first three or four issues were just the top. So, you know, it obviously reached an audience that probably had no idea it was a comic first, which is a good thing.
Right, right. I mean, I actually talked, you know, even a few people here and there that say they love the show and they're surprised to, you know it started in a comic, and that kind of, then I'll kind of lend them the books I have, and kind of goes from there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it looks like, you know, things are going well in terms of all things Walking Dead. It seems to have a lot of steam behind it, and you know, that's pretty cool. You know, it started. It's funny to think, you know, it's a black and white book. You know what I mean? It's
yeah. It's especially these days where everyone wants the colored books, but I think Walking Dead's obviously doing something right.
I like that. I like the fact that they didn't stray from the whole, you know, black and white, because I'm sure there were times, yeah, there had to be a discussion at times that, you know, Walking Dead got so popular, maybe there even still is discussion, who knows, you know, that it got so popular, you know, why isn't it in color, you know?
I think it does better in black and white, probably. It gives that good horror, old school film feel to it.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. I mean, I think that's a really cool thing. Some sad news we have regarding one of my favorite artists of all times, Gene Colan, passed away.
Yeah.
He was, without a doubt, one of my favorite artists of all times. I had the opportunity to speak with Gene a few years back regarding his run on Blade, as well as, you know, creating the character. And it was great to speak with him. You know, he died. He was the age of 84. And actually, I think it was maybe 2 years ago. I don't think it was last year. I think it was maybe 2 years ago. I saw him at New York Comic Con. I was able to wave to him. Of course, he had a big crowd around him.
Yeah, definitely.
Took a picture. I mean, his you know, 70-issue run on Tomb of Dracula is just incredible. I mean, he also, you know, in one of the articles I wrote last month, it was about Night Force, and Gene Colan was also the artist behind that series. So just kind of,
he was pretty much an amazing amazing artist. So.
Yeah, I mean, he did everything from like Daredevil, Batman, Howard the Duck, like anything in between. Like, he had, you know, he had his hands in there. And you know, I'm actually lucky enough to have an original piece of art from Gene Colan. It's you know, it's had to be, I'd say, about 6 years ago, maybe. I commissioned a piece of art from him. It's basically Dracula battling Blade.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's the old school Blade, of course, like his 70s outfit with the big goggles. And so that's definitely, you know, my prized possession, without a doubt.
Definitely.
it's just something that I always thought was, you know, I had to get. You know, when you talk to these artists, it's always like the big artists always are, you know, cost a ton of money to get something from. This guy was really nice, kind of cut me a break, and, you know, I gave him a certain amount of money, and I told him, you know, just draw up into that amount. I don't care if it's like half a Blade's head or whatever. I wanted to have, you know, a piece of his artwork. I enjoyed what he did on that series so much. I mean, not only was the writing great by Marv Wolfman, but Gene Colan's art set a tone that, you know, for the whole comic, it kind of gave you like a chill when looking through the comic. It's something you read like on a Cold Dark Night, and it was the series was great, and it was awesome to get to speak with him on the phone and talk to him about his success, his successes in the comic industry. It was just a fantastic time to speak with him.
Right, and I was actually listening to another podcast maybe yesterday, 2 days ago, that was talking about Gene, and I've never got to meet him, but they were saying pretty much the same. Like he was a really nice guy, great artist, will always like to sit down and talk with you and all that good stuff. So, I mean, I kind of wish I got to meet him at one point, but.
Yeah, there's so many out there. Unfortunately, when these guys, get to a certain age, it gets harder to see them at cons, because a lot of times they don't go out. But the sad thing is, for a lot of these guys, that's their income. They have to kind of do commission work. Unfortunately, I mean, it didn't pay as much as it did back then, as sure it does now. But he was a legend, and he's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. What do you have anything else on that topic, Dave, about what's going on currently in horror comics?
I don't know if this is necessarily the section to talk about it, but I mean the DC relaunch had a lot of horror stuff.
Right. It
Going
definitely
on.
does. And that leads us into our next thing, which is the horror comics that are coming out for the month, as well as DC's DC's relaunch that they're doing. So there, I'm sure everybody knows DC has this what they call Dark Line coming out. I believe that's what they're calling it. And basically what it's doing is it's they're going to be introducing a bunch more horror comics, but in addition to that, it's a whole reboot of, it seems like 1,000 titles they have coming out.
52 titles all coming out.
God.
52 new titles all coming out in September.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. But I mean, if you look at the roster, like what they have, it's actually nice to see that DC is not putting out like 52 Superman comics.
I know.
It's actually a good spread of comics, and even past just, the DC character everyone knows, Flash, Superman, Green Arrow, all that. They are giving people like, I mean, Red Lanterns get their own ongoing series.
Right.
It's awesome. Frankenstein by Jeff Lemire, he gets his own series.
See, that's awesome. I'm a big fan of Frankenstein, from the whole Seven Soldiers thing. I like that character. I liked him a lot. I mean, he kind of reminds me of Doc Frankenstein, which was a good series for a while by Burlyman Press, and then it just stopped coming out. I mean, I don't know what had happened. I don't know any backstory behind that, but it's basically a kick-ass Frankenstein monster with guns, killing a bunch of people. I mean, but this looks awesome. I mean, I like,
Jeff Lemire, I mean, he's good.
yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I guess he's going to be Frankenstein. The little blurb they gave for this is Frankenstein and his network of strange beings work for an even stranger government organization, the Superhuman Advanced Defense Executive. It's the breakout hero of Seven Soldiers, if you never seen him before. Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, number one. And I also like the he kind of has, they call her the bride, and she's kind of like the bride of Frankenstein. I believe she has like six arms or something in this, if I remember correctly.
I keep hearing it being referred to as Awesome and DC's Hellboy.
That's cool. I
So,
mean, those are definitely good things. If you're going to be
yes.
DC's Hellboy, that's
Yeah.
awesome. And let's see what happens. I mean,
Yeah, I mean they have the mini series going on right now, the Flashpoint tie-in.
right.
So I gotta read that.
I like it. I like the Flashpoint tie-in that's going on now with that. It's basically Frankenstein and the creatures of the unknown. So it's pretty good. I like how it's I like what's happening so far in it. and it has
You'd like this. Swamp Thing is going to be written by Scott Snyder.
I
So.
did see that. I'm kind of interested in seeing how that goes. I hope they, part of me when I heard that, I hope they didn't give it to Scott Snyder just because he's doing American Vampire. You know what I mean? I hope they didn't give it to him just because, hey, here's a guy writing horror. Let's let him do Swamp Thing. I hope it didn't go down like that. I hope it
Right,
was like,
right.
hey, do you have a love for this character? Did you, do you know his history well? What are your thoughts on this character? I hope it kind of went like that. I hope it just wasn't like, hey, this guy's doing horror. Let's let him do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we'll see how this one goes. I mean, I always liked Alan Moore's version of Swamp Thing, where he was a swamp elemental. We're gonna see how this goes. The synopsis for that reads: For years, one man served against his will as an avatar of nature, and while he may have been free to the monster, he's about to learn the monster will never truly let go of him. So that's
Title.
that. One other title I'm really looking forward to is The Resurrection Man.
Right.
I think that's going to be pretty cool. I like Andy Lanning and Dan Abnett.
Right, yeah.
Those guys are good. I mean,
Yeah, they're always together.
yeah, those guys are definitely always together. I think they did like Texas Chainsaw Massacre a while ago for DC. And Resurrection Man, this is going to be cool. It's the story of a hero who wakes up with new powers each time he's killed. So, I mean, I think that could be cool.
That could be really cool.
I mean, yeah, I'm waiting to see. I hope it's not so like, cape type of hero stuff, you know what I mean? I hope they
Yeah. That you wanted to have that horror feel even within the DC
Right,
universe.
I kind of hope they didn't lump this in here just because it's a guy that gets killed and he comes back. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like a zombie type thing, but
Right.
I hope there's more to the story than that. So we'll see what happens with that. I've also been like a big fan of iVampire from way back, and I believe it's the House of Mystery. He has a new comic coming out. Written by Josh Fialkov, and so that should be good. It says vampires starting to bring ruin to the DC universe, and iVampire number one, tortured by his centuries-old love for the Queen of the Damned, Andrew Bennett must save humanity from the violent uprising of his fellow vampires, even if it means exterminating his own kind.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really cool to see what they do, with this, especially if they ever have like a which I know they will, but have another event, like crossover event in the DC universe, 'cause like I think personally it would be cool to see Resurrection Man teaming up with, I don't know, Superman or Batman or something like
Right.
that. Actually, I guess what I'm trying to say is I want them to actually use them as part
Right.
of the DC universe, but still keep them with their own like individuality in their books, where it's like it feels like a horror comic.
Right. And that's
And
going to be
hopefully they'll bring
interesting. I
that
mean,
in.
I don't want the thing that pisses me off is a series comes out, right? So a series comes out, it's a number one. You don't know if it's a mini series or if it's an ongoing series. So you get
Yep.
issue one, maybe issue two, and you're like, all right, this is cool. Then you find out it's like issue two of six. All of a sudden they
Yeah.
like throw it on the cover. And I hate that because first of all, I don't have room for the comics in my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one reason. I mean, I hope if they're going to do something, I know
Let
it's
them
all
like
about
do
money,
it.
but DC is a huge company that could. I mean, if you're going to make 52 titles, make the fucking 52 titles go forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like make it worth the while.
Yeah, or at least to like more than just, oh, issue four, if the first one doesn't sell good, okay, now all of a sudden it's a mini series.
Yeah.
I think that's
And I
kind
hate
of,
that because
yeah.
you can tell that they're like, this is supposed to be an ongoing, but we're going to stop it here. And it just, that last issue or that second to last issue is just so abrupt all of a sudden. It's
I
just,
know. It seems
destroy a series like
right.
that.
It just seems like they cram like 25 issues into one action-packed, double-sized issue, and that's it. I mean, I just hope, I hope it goes well. I mean, I just, to me, you know, I mean, what do people want with like 20 Batman titles? I mean, is DC, I want to get in the head of DC and find out if they're hoping
That's
that iVampire is going to outsell like Batman title number 19, because I tell you, it's not. These horror
right.
comics are probably going to be near, maybe with the exception of, you know, Justice League Dark, which we'll talk about in a second, and Swamp Thing will probably be on the lower end of this whole purchase scale. So, you know, my thing is I'm just hoping that they realize that prior to going in this. Just because it's iVampire doesn't mean all these Twilight fans are going to buy it, and all of a sudden it's going to be like a top 20 book. You know, I hope they know that it's more than just, you know, I hope they're doing this more for just a fad. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping also too, but you never know, like with the bigger companies, for some reason I guess I understand why they do. I understand why they cater towards having 17 Batman titles. I get it. It's a money thing, but I don't want 17 Batman titles. You know, like I understand now, especially specifically with Batman. There's now Batman Inc., so now there's going to be like a bazillion Batmans all over the world. So I get each one could have their own series, but really, and I'm someone like I read everything, you know, not just horror. I read superheroes, I read drama, everything, and I read Batman. I only read one Batman because that's all I need. I would much rather the other three or four Batmans to be something else, or you know, maybe invest that money into some of the titles that aren't as well known, promote them, you know, give them a bigger cushion, so to speak, to keep going on. Like the one I'm the most excited about from the horror side is the Demon Knights, with Etrigan basically leading the team. And I'll be really upset if, you know, 6 issues in, they decide to cancel Demon Knights, but then these five Batman titles keep going, which there's no need for five Batman titles in this.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I could see Batman and Detective Comics, you know, since so those are the
Yeah,
two
that's
longest
fine.
running things, and I could see maybe, you know, a Birds of Prey with, or a Batman family comic, maybe whatever. You know,
Right.
if DC's going to do all this thing to maybe bring up these horror characters, which you're doing, I mean, there's six or so titles here. If they fail, I would like to see like a DC Horror Presents, maybe with two stories within a book containing different characters, or just so you could at least something different. I mean, I got to give them credit on, you know, the types of titles. It looks like they're trying to put out different things, which is I'm all for. You know, I just don't
Right.
like the whole reboot of everything. Anyway, getting back to the horror titles, because I could talk for hours about that. Getting back
Yeah,
to the horror
me too.
titles, we have a Justice League Dark. Peter Milligan's on that. It's going to feature Constantine, Deadman, Shade the Changing Man, and Madame Xanadu. So that's going to be pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know. Constantine's not a team guy, so I'm not sure how that's going to work. But something that confuses me, and maybe you could shed some light on it, Dave, is I'm not really sure why this is in with the horror comics, is Animal Man.
Yeah, you know, I don't know either.
I mean,
'Cause I haven't read a lot of Animal Man.
neither
And
have
I think
I, quite honestly.
he showed up, I think. I could be wrong. Someone might yell at me on the forums, I don't know, but I think he showed up for like half a second in either it was Infinite Crisis or Crisis on Infinite Earth. And I get his powers with animals and all that stuff, but I assumed when they announced Animal Man, it would be basically another superhero type thing. But then you see this cover, and I don't know if you're looking at the cover for it or not. It's terrifying.
That's
So I was completely thrown by that. So it's kind of something that I'm really interested to see what happens with Animal Man. Because from what little I know, this doesn't seem like the same.
Right.
But again, I mean, even if you want to just hop on the book just to see it, this is another Jeff Lemire title,
Right.
so.
Now, I do know that Animal Man had, a D a Vertigo title for a while, and he became kind of like Swamp Thing is like the kind of elemental god or whatever you want to call it of plants in the earth. Animal Man was kind of that to animals. So I know the Vertigo did kind of be like a horror type book, sort of, but the eventually in that they removed the superhero type things, but I never even got into it then.
There's Vertigo. Maybe I'm thinking of someone other animal-like in the DCU.
Nope, that's def Animal Man was in regular DC for a long time.
Oh,
So
okay.
then they just like took him out and I guess tried him out in Vertigo, and then they kind of tried to make him like Swamp Thing is. They kind of made him like that for animals, but it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know, maybe this is going to be like the surprise series that we're talking about, because when I first looked at it, I was like, what the hell, Animal Man? Why is that like, so maybe it's going to be like something totally fucking creepy and crazy that we're not thinking of. Maybe it's just like not someone that says, okay, I want to use the powers of like an eagle to fly. You know what I mean? Maybe it's going to be something like really anything that could be written like Swamp Thing was. I mean, you can make anything seem crazy if it's like written how Swamp Thing was. So we'll see what happens. And you mentioned Demon Etrigan. That's one of my favorite DC characters. I actually have a drawing of Demon Etrigan, a big drawing from Ken Heiser on my stand here, and it's awesome. He's definitely one of my favorite characters. And they also have a character called Voodoo, the Wildcats character. She's a half alien hybrid. So we're gonna see how that is, and that's DC's big horror stuff that they're coming out with. I guess we'll
And I also like that they're pulling on new talent.
Right.
It's not just, and I love Geoff Johns, but it's not like just Geoff Johns or, just Paul Dini or something like that. They brought on some new talent. Like I was really surprised to see, Ron Mars, he's writing Voodoo
Right.
and bringing on different people, Jeff Lemire, Scott Snyder, which I know Scott Snyder's been doing some of Detective Comics for a little while now. But now that he's, I guess, a fixed part now of the DC Universe, all these people that they're bringing in, I think, love it or hate it with the DC reboot, that there'll be a lot of new, fresh ideas and fresh ways of telling the story since we got so many new teams.
Right. And I mean, I think that'll I think it'll kind of be interesting. I mean, it's just I mean, I could see, there's going to be all of a sudden it's going to be like, holy shit, there's 52 DC comics new. It's like comic book stores must be like, well, where the hell am I going to put this stuff, and
DC is doing something interesting. They're letting people return. They're letting shops return the comics if they don't sell well.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I haven't
Because
heard of that. That's pretty good.
apparently they're giving a deeper discount to comic shops and giving them the ability to return it. Because a lot of these titles are completely unproven,
Right.
because they didn't exist on, they're not going to exist until September. So it's kind of hard to be a comic shop and then have, one of the big two all of a sudden say, we're starting all over from number ones with all these new series. I mean, from a comic shop perspective, that must be like, well, what do I order?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's good and what's not. So it's, from what I heard, they're going to let them actually do some returns. And obviously, there has to be some limit to it. I doubt, Diamond's gonna be like, yeah, you can order 5 billion copies of Demon Knights and then
Right,
return.
right. Yeah, I mean, I just hope DC, kind of sticks to this. And I mean, I like the fact that there's going to be like, these six. Five or six new titles here, and I hope if it doesn't, I mean, I hope DC goes into it thinking, okay, these aren't going to be top 20 sales because these characters just, the horror fans in these characters just don't add up to that much. You know what I mean? I hope it's just something they at least make a book out of, a monthly book where, you know, you could read like 4 pages of each of these comics, you know, kind of like a Marvel Comics Presents format.
Right, right, definitely. That would be really cool.
I mean, I would at least go for that. I just don't want to see it that all of a sudden, oh yeah, I bought all those 6 fucking titles that DC Comic canceled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really, really going to piss me off if that happens. I mean,
and it's such a good segue for at least specifically horror, since it usually gets the back burner of comics, that horror is now part of the fixed DC universe.
Right.
And DC is one of the big two. And they're doing that thing where, I don't know if all of them, but I know a lot of them are doing the comes with a digital code. So you might spend like $1 more or something like that for the comic. Mm-hmm. Buy the comic, it'll also come with a redeemable code that you can type in online somewhere and get a digital copy.
That's cool.
And I know that's going to be a lot with the, you know, Justice League and Batman, that stuff. But they're also saying that they're going to go day and date with their comics. So maybe people that haven't actually been to a comic shop or whatever, now they have access to these comics. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a wider audience, which is good.
Right, right. Without a doubt. So we'll see what happens with that. It's just it's crazy time in comics. We're just going to have to wait it out and see what happens.
Back and see.
Yeah, I mean, so July is just a matter of days away. June flew by, and there's a ton of comics coming out, you know, once again for July. Of course, there's the Venom that you mentioned, American Vampire. There's the Frankenstein and the Creatures of the Unknown, which I can't wait to get. I really like the first one. There's the Brightest Day Aftermath Search for Swamp Thing. There's definitely a bunch coming out. Marvel Universe, you know, has that Marvel Zombies Christmas Carol thing that they have.
Yeah.
So it's just
Ghost Rider.
Yeah, Ghost Rider. That's going to be a big one. That's coming out. So we'll see how that does. Something that I'm really looking forward to is the Cal McDonald Goon crossover and Criminal Macabre the Goon When Freaks Collide. So that's Steve Niles and Eric Powell. It's gonna be pretty
that's
fun.
That's gonna be a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, those two are superstars, so.
Yeah, and then we have the looks like Lock and Key Crown of Shadows trade. Alan Roberts, we did an interview with him. Crawl to Me #1 comes out. That looks pretty cool. Looks like Infestation Volume 1 is going to get collected by IDW as well.
That's cool. I wonder, I guess they're probably going to put all the tie-ins together.
Yeah, it looks like it's
because Infestation itself was just 2 issues.
Right, right. It looks like they're probably going to put everything together in there. We'll see. I wonder how that'll do. I mean, it does, you know, it was an okay kind of thing. We'll see. See what happens with that.
Yeah, Infestation was definitely, I can't lie, it was a guilty pleasure.
There's also this is pretty cool. I gotta check this out just to see what happens. There's Terminator RoboCop Kill Human #1 that comes out. I'll just have to see. I was awesome. A you know, child of the 80s, so of course I loved, you know, yeah, Terminator RoboCop kind of stuff. Kind of
BPRD Hell on Earth.
Yep, yep. There's Hack/Eva Monsters Ball #3. I believe Dracula, the Company of Monsters, has its final issue. We also get Hellraiser #5, which has been great so far, as well as Planet of the Apes, which is going pretty well. I can't wait to see where that goes. So there's, you know, a lot of stuff that's coming out. Spawn has some hardcover coming out. That Turf book is getting collected. You said you read that before, right?
Yeah, I read like the first 2 issues and they're awesome. I have to finish them. I have them in my box. It's just one of those comics that's like a book.
Right, right.
It, It is wordy, but it's totally worth it. If the trade, whenever the trade does come out, you should pick it up. It will come out much quicker than the actual individual issues came out. There were like 3 month gaps between each issue coming out. It was insane, but that was a good one. Top Cow's putting out the second volume of the Darkness Compendium, which is nice.
That's going to be awesome. I'll have to get that.
Up at Heroes Con, I bought a, which I guess I never talked about Heroes Con. I bought the Witchblade Compendium there, and I got it for a steal.
Really? How
Yeah.
what kind of issues were involved in that one?
I think it was, it's Witchblade. Let me get it. It's like 50 issues. It's issues 51 through 100.
Wow.
And it's a nice set. Like, I bought one of the first Witchblade trades, like the trade paperbacks, and it was like $5. And it quite literally all but exploded. It just wasn't bound well and just fell apart. So I saw a Witchblade Compendium. Like, I really want to read some more Witchblade, but I don't want it to fall apart, especially since the compendium is $100.
Jesus.
But when I went to Heroes Con, I found it for 20
Oh my
bucks.
God.
So I bought it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they had a Spawn. They had the same thing with the Spawn Compendium, the same booth, 20 bucks.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty good steal.
Yeah, it is.
So,
I asked the guy.
those right there are the comics that are coming out, and you mentioned Heroes Con. So you seem to got some get some awesome deals from there. What else was going on down there?
Yeah, I mean, Heroes Con always has awesome deals. But as far as the con itself, I mean, they had a lot of really good guests, but at the same time, they also had a lot of guests that canceled, like Mike Mignola and Guy Davis. They both canceled.
Oh, really? It was like a BPRD.
Yeah, apparently just like went on strike. Well, we're not going to go to Heroes Con.
Yeah. Oh, that stinks.
There's a bunch of people that canceled, but even though there was so many that canceled, there was still like a ridiculous amount of guests there. It almost felt like if those guests didn't cancel, I wouldn't know where they would have put them. So, I mean, maybe it was for the better. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Neil Adams was there. One of my favorite writers, Matt Fraction, was there. So actually, I went up to him, and still bothers me. He had like no line, and he's such a good writer. It just didn't make sense, and he was just like the coolest guy. And I walked up to him, and I was asking him, "Are you signing now?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm signing." And I only had like 3 issues of his stuff on me because I assumed he was going to have a huge line, and he signed it. And I was like, "Are you going to be here all day?" He's like, "Yeah." Like, can I bring my entire run of Iron Man for you to sign? He's like, yeah, sure, bring it on. And then I brought it to him. He just started signing it, and we were just talking the whole time, and it was awesome. Still mad that he had no line. It makes no sense,
Yeah, it's
but.
kind of crazy, right? When you go to some of these cons and you see like these guys, there's always, it seems like, Iron Man was obviously big. So, I mean, but you always see like, you'll see like a guy that just sitting there. I mean, I know that happened to like a few times. I've heard when like Steve Niles or at cons, I know Paper Dragon saw him at a con in Seattle and he was just sitting there hanging out,
Yeah,
and it's just so weird.
that happened this year too, and last year he was there too. Steve Niles just sat there, and I was like, "But you're kind of awesome and a big deal."
Maybe it's people, I know probably obviously a lot of, Steve Niles is one of the most, of course, probably the most well-known horror writer for comics. So he at least has a comics fan. But it's got to be kind of weird for him too, or he's kind of like an in-between thing. Yes, he's a big comic writer, but a lot of guys,
Just
try
gloss over.
rushing for like, the big DC superhero guys. But when I saw
Right.
him at New York Comic Con last, he definitely had a big line going there.
That's nice.
I forget what it was that he was signing, but he definitely had a big line. So maybe it just depends, and who knows.
Yeah, I mean, you might mean I guess it is just depends, you know, where you who you are, I guess. Because when I went to MegaCon, like Ron Mars was there. He had no line. I love Ron Mars. And I mean, he writes Witchblade, Magdalena, Artifact. I expected him to have a bigger line. He had nothing. Wow. Went and got stuff signed. Jeff John's line wrapped around the dealer's room.
Oh,
it was wow. insanity. So yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of the cons, they are more for the, I guess, the bigger superhero names. But either way, Heroes Con was awesome. They had a lot of panels. This is definitely a con that's like, if you are indie of any sort, it's the con you're supposed to go to.
Oh, I see.
Because the way they do their – they call it Indie Island. The way they do their artist alley basically is in some cons – I'm sure you've been to some cons where there's the big stars somewhere in the convention, and then kind of separate in this back room, there's like, oh, the artist alley for all the indie people.
Yeah, the ghetto.
Yeah, pretty much. So what Heroes Con does is they're like intermingled. So, you know, Chris Robinson, he wrote, oh, what did he write? I Zombie,
mm-hmm.
Starborn, you know, some Superman. You know, he's sitting next to some guy you've never heard of who's self-promoting his own book.
Right.
And across the alley is, you know, Matt Fraction. And then over there's Tim Sale right next to this other indie person you never heard of. And they're all kind of together, which is really nice because then it brings in all of the guests to the indie artists without them even knowing.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Which is really nice to see. And the panels cater a lot towards making comics.
Uh-huh.
A lot of how to be successful in comics. A lot of artist panels where it's like inking tutorials, anatomy stuff, all that good stuff. And then for people who aren't necessarily into, you know, making comics, there are also panels that were about like the history of the comic industry. There was like a Fear Itself panel. There was a Fatal Town Cinderella with Love, that comic. Mm-hmm. They had a panel about that. You know, there's a lot of stuff for everyone, and it is a big family friendly con where it's not like, I don't know if you've ever been to Dragon Con. It's not like Dragon Con where if you bring your 3-year-old, he or she may be scarred for life. It's very family friendly, and it's $30 for 3 days, plus you get an exclusive promo piece if you pre-order your ticket, and pre-ordering your ticket costs no more money than buying it at the door.
That's awesome. That sounds like they have a good con down there, and you know, wish those guys continued success. It seems like it's always doing really well. You know, speaking of summer, we have summer travel and horror trades from Steph. She wrote this really cool article getting people up to date on summer travel and the horror trades that they could get bring with them. She touches on the Suicide Forest, Lock and Key, Sam and Twitch, 30 Days of Night, as well as Baltimore, The Plague of Ships. So those are all really different types of trades and, you know, very highly recommended.
Right.
I wrote an article from the back issue bin, Curse of the Blood Clan. You know, it's kind of took me a while to decide what I wanted to write this time. I know I was following up with the initial Night Force back issue bin. And Curse of the Blood Clan was one that kind of popped into my head just because, one, I'm a huge Howling fan. I love werewolves. And this comic was actually, before, you know, it got solicited, we got the exclusive news that it was going to be called The Howling Curse of the Blood Clan. And so it had the name Quist in it, you know, Eddie Quist, the original character, Eddie from The Howling. So just before Dead Dog Entertainment went to press, they were asked to remove The Howling name from the book, as well as any direct mention of the name Quist. So it was a three-issue series, and it's described as this: runaways are disappearing in record numbers from the nightlit streets in New York. One such casualty is Sarah Bell. Retired Sheriff Bull Bell recruits his adopted son, along with his tabloid reporter girlfriend, to learn the truth of Sarah's disappearance, a grim truth hidden in the flickering grain of violent snuff videotape. In the static shadows, Jackson Bale will uncover the existence of an ancient clan of mythic evil. He'll risk everything he loves, he will witness the impossible, and when the screaming begins, he will believe. So that's a synopsis of Curse of the Blood Clan. It was written in art by Mark Kidwell, and issue three, you know, the series lends itself perfect to the Howling mythos, and issue three, you know, you'll definitely see the likeness of Marcia Quist with her whole fur bikini on the thing with werewolves. So
I'm sold.
It's definitely, you know, it was a pretty cool book. And, you know, we will, that's a book that I definitely suggest people try to check out if they get the opportunity to. It's a tough find. You may have to do some, you know, very deep digging to try to get that.
Right. Yeah, man.
So,
wish I thought about it before I went to Heroes Con.
Yeah, exactly.
Have all those like dollar bins.
You know, and we talked earlier about you know, you just wrote this article, Horror Comics in the Mainstream, where you touch on DC's reboot of the universe, as well you look at Marvel with the Carnage limited series. So it's a really good read, getting people up to date on kind of what's going on in these comics, kind of, you know, sort of these subtle horror comics being brought to the mainstream a little more. So I believe that's our time, and I think next time we maybe have another guest with us. But thank you for listening this time. This is Rob the Big Bad Wolf.
And I'm David.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good week.
All right, see ya.